Pastor Rob said something so profound, but yet it gets lost. Worship is your life.
That's right.
You worship God in every aspect of your life.
Amen.
What we did here tonight is a part of it. But true worship is the attitude of your heart. Every moment of the day, in all that you do.
Yes.
And yes, I've been known to say, just to bless the heart of your God.
Yes.
And your King. Amen. That's what it's all about. If you don't know anything else or whatever, that's it. Mm-hmm. Blessing the heart of your God with the heart that just loves Him so very much. The scripture says, and we're not going to go there per se, but I was tossing back and forth, but I'm going to get it out anyway and say it. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever and ever. That's what it's all about. There was a whole psalm that David wrote about that, Psalm 136. It was a responsorial psalm. You know what? Let's turn to that for a minute. Why not? Let's worship the Lord with His song. Okay? Psalm 136, and then we'll see where the Lord wants to take us from there. Do you have it up there? Because I don't know. This way, if you have it, we can get the version, and if not, that's okay. We're going to read it then from the authorized version? No, okay. We'll read it from that version. Okay. Ah, the King James Version. You do have the authorized, the only real one. No, I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm going to get out of the way. Okay, this is what it's supposed to be, okay? Somebody, whoever was overseeing the worship at the time would say the first part, and the congregation would respond, "For He is good, and for His mercy endureth forever." So we're going to do that. Huh? Yeah. It's actually a responsorial psalm. It is. You know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. The scriptures tell us that. So I'm going to say the first part, and then you please respond. And really understand what he's talking about. "For He is good, and for His mercy endureth forever and ever." In some translations, it's His loving kindness. That was so profound, because in everything we read here and everything that's spoken, it's showing the mercy of God to His people. And the congregation said, "For He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." So let's just do this real quick as an act of worship as we're continuing to worship. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
For He is good, and His mercy endureth forever.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, give thanks unto the God of gods." We got what? 30 people here. You know, they had thousands of people do this on time. Okay, it's okay. Verse 3. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords." Amen. "To Him who alone doeth great wonders." "To Him that by wisdom made the heavens." Do you hear what he's saying there? And we're responding to that. "To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters." His creative power. "To Him that made great lights." "The sun to rule by day." "The moon and stars to rule by night." "To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn." You're waiting on me here, guys. "And brought out Israel from among them." "With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm." Amen. "To Him which divide the Red Sea into parts." "And made Israel to pass through the midst of it." Yes, Lord. "But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea."
For his mercy.
Yes, Lord. To him which led his people through the wilderness.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which smote great kings.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And slew famous kings.
For his mercy endureth forever. Amen.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And Og, the king of Bashan.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Those were two of the worst enemies for Israel. The Amorites were people that God said he would wipe out, and he did, because they would always come from behind and hit the weakest ones first and then come forward. You see, when we read these things, Israel is declaring what God has done for them and his mercy that they're still there. Go ahead. And gave their land for a heritage.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Who remembered us in our low estate.
For his mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Forever.
And hath redeemed us from our enemies.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Who gives food to all flesh.
For his
mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Amen. That's called a psalm of thank you, Lord, for his deliverance, for his mercy endures forever. His loving kindness endureth forever. People, that is what David was writing, and the children of Israel were reflecting on that when they read that. Oh, give thanks unto God because we're still here. Oh, give thanks unto God because he has made everything.
Amen. Yes.
Oh, give thanks unto God because he provides us with everything.
Hallelujah.
See, it's an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of true understanding who our God is and what he has done.
That's right.
And to give him glory.
Amen.
And sometimes we want more. That's not good enough, God. Why didn't you do this for me? No, our attitude should always be, praise the Lord, for your mercy endures forever.
Yes.
That's who we are about.
Yes.
That's why you were created to do just that. That's probably maybe the first time. Is that the first time you ever read that psalm? Or read it all the way through? I hope not. But it's an awesome psalm because it gives glory to the God of, notice what it said, the God of gods. There are a lot of other gods. But he's the God over all gods. He says he's the Lord of lords. The big L. And that's because there's a lot of lords. And that's important. Is he your God above every other God, including self? And is he Lord even over the Lord of self? See, that's why we were created. I want us to go to a scripture, and I don't normally do what I go from these scriptures, but I'm going to, so forgive me. Revelations. Uh-oh. Dum, 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 that's thunder. No. Revelations chapter 4. And then we're going to go to maybe one other scripture and whatever. But we have got to get this. Revelations chapter 4, verse 11. Well-known scripture. Well-known scripture. Songs are written about it. Worship songs have incorporated it. But sometimes we miss it. It says here in verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. We love that. You're worthy, Lord. So you're worthy, Lord, we give you all glory, honor, and power. And we miss the last part. For you have created all things. Yes, you have. We just said that, God. We just spoke it. Thank you. But this is awesome, people. And for your pleasure, thy pleasure, I should say, and for thy pleasure, they are and were created.
Yes, yes, yes.
for God's pleasure you were created, people. No other reason. To bless the heart of God.
Hallelujah.
In all that we do.
Hallelujah.
Bless the heart of God. You were created, I was created to bless and give God pleasure. God wants to delight in us. Because he comes to dwell in us. Isaiah 66:1. One more scripture. You should know it by heart, most of you. Yeah, okay. We sing it again. We sing songs. All these scriptures are wonderful songs, but sometimes we end up just singing them as songs. And for the moment, it's wonderful. But no, the reason why those psalms were written down is so that people keep repeating them and keep getting them and keep understanding them and keep worshiping them. You know, I love songs, I love worship, but sometimes there's so many songs we miss out on. You know, next week we lose the song from last week and we don't do it no more. And it's old. You know what? And we don't know so many. You know, we need to be careful. We need to just know why we worship and what we do, what we do. It's all about God, not the new trend.
Right.
It's all about worshiping him, yeah. Not just in song, not just in dance, not just in flex, but in our lives as well.
Yes.
It's all about God.
Amen.
Psalm 66:1 says this, "Thus saith the Lord." So it's God speaking here.
Right.
Okay? Not me, not anybody. "The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest?"
Oh my goodness.
In the translation of that, it really is a question. Where and what is the house that you can build for me? Where am I supposed to rest? The house that he's talking about is you.
Hallelujah.
We look at this and, you know, we think of big cathedrals, oh, we've got to build a church. No. God's desire was always to dwell in a place that is not made with human hands.
That's right.
That's why you and I, I'm going to get into, you and I were created for his pleasure so he can dwell in us. So God, where will he find his resting place? Can God rest in you? Can God sit back in you and say, hey, this is nice. I liked it. You, not the building, you. You know what? I had a hard day. I had to forgive the 100,000 of these Christians who just do what they got to do. You know, they keep doing this thing and I don't understand. I got to show mercy and forgiveness. I just want to rest tonight. Can he rest in you? Where will my resting place be?
Yes, yes.
It's the question of God's heart. We're so busy building a lot of things, not even church, not even, just things. Mm-hmm. When God is saying, the only thing I want, and we say it all for God. When in essence, if you're doing something for God, wrong attitude. God needs you to do nothing. He was quite capable of forming the earth, the heavens, the angels, everything. Quite capable without any of us. What we do is we do all things unto him. Big difference. What's the difference? Between doing things for God and unto him. What's the difference? It's okay, you can talk, it's okay.
It takes pleasure in doing unto him, versus the other one could be interested in work with him.
Okay, work related or pleasure. When we do things unto God or for God?
Unto God, you love him.
We're doing it as an act of love.
That's right.
As an act of worship.
Yes.
We're also doing it with him as opposed to doing it for him.
With him?
Yeah,
You know, I'm doing this for you. Oh, how nice. And God says, oh, how nice. I couldn't do that without you. Oh, gee. I'm so glad you do this for me. No, we do it unto God. He allows us to do it because it blesses us, but it gives him pleasure. And with the and it's all about the attitude of heart. Why do I do what I do? If I do things for God, that means I'm forced to do it. I got to do it for God. I got to do this. I got to do this for God. I've got to do it. No. But when I do it unto him, the attitude of my heart is, Lord, I do it just because I love you. That's why Jesus said in his word, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Why? Because it's not that you're forced to do it. It's because you love him. And that commandments and his precepts combine everything that will, number one, bless you. But number two, if you get blessed, he gets blessed. The scripture says in Isaiah, and I can't remember exactly the scripture, so I don't. I'm not like saying it, but it says, you know why you were he redeemed his people and set you free? And set you free, really, from the bondage. I'm going to find the scripture. It's in Isaiah, and I can't do it now. Do you know why he did that? Do you know why? I'm going to lay it paraphrased. Do you know why he sent Jesus to die for our sins so this way you can have the opportunity to believe him and get born again? Do you know why what his heart was?
Relationship.
Yeah, he said he did it for his sake. Not for yours, although that's a good byproduct. Why? Because he loves you and he misses you and he wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to have that intimacy with you. He wants to rest in somebody. You got to remember, he had relationship with Adam and Eve. He breathed into them. But then when they screwed up, he lost that intimate, close relationship. And from that time, from how many thousands of years ago that was, until the day when Jesus died, he was looking for a resting place to dwell in. You know, we always think that the temple, if you look at it, in Samuel, in I think I wrote this down a little bit, yeah, in 1 Chronicles 17 and also in Samuel 7, David said, I want to build God a house. Nathan came to him and said, do as your heart desires. Then that night, Nathan got visited by God. And God said, when did I ever ask anybody to build me a house? When did I ever ask anybody to build me a house? You dwelt in tents that I told you to do, told Moses to do. And it was fashioned after what God fashioned it to do. But when did I want that? And then he goes on to say something, and of course it's twofold. Solomon ends up building a house, but if you look in 1 Chronicles 17, let's look at it real quick. I said that was the last scripture, but I lied. Okay, let me just make sure I want to start in the right place though.
Chapter 17.
Yes. 1 Chronicles. Actually, it's in another area too. But 1 Chronicles 17, there it is, yes. I do want to start, though, in verse 4. Go and tell David. So now Nathan was that night, and God came to Nathan at night and said, go and tell David, my servant, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel from Egypt until this day. But I have gone from tent to tent, which was the tabernacle of Moses, and from one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have walked with all Israel, did I say a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now go to verse 9. Well, no, go to verse 11. I'm going to skip a lot. But you can read verse 9, yeah. Nah, verse 10. What the heck? Verse 10. I'm just keeping you on your toes back there. Okay. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, Moreover, I'm reading from the Amplified. Moreover, I will subdue all your enemies. Furthermore, I foretell you that the Lord will build you a house, which is talking about David's posterity, the house of David. So he's talking about the house of David here, and he's telling David, and it shall come to pass that when your days are fulfilled to go to be with your fathers, I, God, will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. Now, we immediately think of who? Solomon. But he's referring to, he shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. Was Solomon's throne forever? So something, we need to understand this. It's twofold. It's in the natural. Yes, David's son will build a temple. But God's plan A, and most important was, it says, verse 13, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy and steadfast love away from him as I did take it away from King Saul, who was before you. This is important, verse 14. But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore, according to all these words and according to all this vision. So did Nathan speak unto David. God is speaking there about Jesus and the house that Jesus will build for him.
Yes.
What is the house that Jesus will build for God?
It's us.
His people. You. And we are all stones who make up that temple, as the scripture says. As Peter says, we're all living stones, lively stones.
Amen.
Living stones that make up the temple so God can dwell in. But it doesn't matter. If you belong to the temple, if you're one brick, you are still considered the temple. You are a part of it, but you are still it yourself. So each one of us is, yes, the temple, but each one of us makes up the fullness of the dwelling place of God. God wants to dwell in a place that is not made with human hands.
Hallelujah.
He wants to dwell in the place that he made, which is you and I.
Hallelujah.
So what does that mean? What does that mean to us? What does it mean? Question. And that's a question. That means you may respond. Okay? What does that mean? I'm sorry, I just can't help myself. I like two-way conversations here. What does that mean to you? That God wants to have his resting place and dwell in you. What does that say to us?
Intimacy. It's relationship.
Intimacy. Relationship. What else?
He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
I'm sorry?
Temple
of the Holy Spirit. What are you saying?
And he wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
He does not want just part of our lives, but all of our lives.
That's right.
Not part of it, but all of our lives.
Amen.
Right. Living stones to come together for his glory, to do things unto him, not for him.
I was just seeing how we carry him as our, as a house, we carry him.
Yes, we carry him to the world. The reason why the Holy Spirit is given to us at the day of Pentecost was because then his glory was now no longer in outside.
Come on.
You know, it came, we saw many times when we saw in the temple, if we read the temple, the dedication of the temple, the people said, praise ye the Lord, for your mercy endureth forever and ever. Again, there's something about that particular phrase that just blesses the heart of God. I mean, it just blesses his socks off. If he had socks, they would just come right off. Let me tell you, it just blesses him because the people just recognize what their God and who their God is.
Yes.
And so we see, even at the dedication of a house that he really was plan B, it was okay for the time. When they said those words, praise the Lord for his mercy, it says the glory, Shekinah glory came.
Wow.
And they couldn't even stand. Shekinah glory, we've ever heard about that. It comes from the root word. That's my Brooklyn coming back. Woot. We don't believe in R's and stuff. Woot word. How do we do that? Root word in the Hebrew from shakan. It's really spoken S-H-A-K-E-N. Sounds like shaken, but it's actually shakan. And that literally means to dwell. It comes from the root means to dwell. So the Shekinah glory is God's presence, but it means he's dwelling in the midst of his people. So when the temple was built, yes, they said, praise the Lord, for your mercy endures forever and ever. The glory of the Lord came in the Shekinah glory. That was the outward manifestation of God. We always hear about that. It's the outward manifestation of God. Son of a gun. Then comes the day of Pentecost. It's no longer an outward manifestation of God. It's an infilling of the manifestation of God. You get that? Stop looking for the outside stuff, guys. Stop looking. We want to see you. Look in you. 100% God is in you.
Yes, yes.
Because that's the Spirit of God. He holds nothing back. Yes, he pours it out more and more, everything more. He just keeps giving. But it's always, always all that he is. The Shekinah glory of God is in you. That's why we are the resting place of God, because his glory is there. He can come and say, ah, I like this place. My glory is here. I know that guy. I know that Holy Spirit there. Okay, this is nice. So he enjoys it. But he doesn't enjoy when the attitude of heart is incorrect. Yes, he loves us. Yes, we're saved. Yes, he's there. But when we go places we shouldn't go, does he like to rest there? When we act a certain way and do a certain way, like Pastor Rob said, our lifestyle. See, you know, he's there. He's with us. Praise God. He loves us. But does he enjoy that?
He's quenched, but he didn't leave.
No, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't enjoy that.
Right.
He doesn't enjoy it.
That's right.
Exactly. You know, that's what I said, is that he didn't, he's with you, he's there, he's, but he doesn't enjoy it. But does that make it right? My heart's desire should be what? To bless the heart of my God.
Amen.
Every day of my life.
Amen.
To worship God in all that I do. Why? Because I want God to be blessed. Not even be blessed, I'm sorry. But to be pleased and to just have pleasure with me. That's why God dwells in us. Yeah, sure.
Because it says, you want, in verse 2, it says, all these things in Isaiah 66, verse 2.
Okay, right.
All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in my spirit, in spirit, and trembles at my word.
Mm-hmm. It's a contrite heart. It's the attitude of heart. That's what he enjoys. Micah. You ever read the book of Micah? Wonderful book.
Yep.
Huh? Micah? Micah? Okay. Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. Micah says, go to it. Now, you know how to get to Micah? It's in the Old Testament. Okay. It's before, yeah, it's up there. It's easy. One day we were talking, Pastor Robin, and I said, you know what? We should get rid of this.
Yeah.
So this way you would learn your Bible. You know, we actually talked. So he's okay. I just said that because we talked about that. Because many times we refer on this. We should bring our Bible or your iPad or whatever you got, okay, to use on it. So this way you know the scriptures and you know and you write it in your little Bible. You know, that's what I missed 30 years ago. I still got mine. I had an iPad. No, I didn't have an iPad. I had one of these little whatever Java things, and I said, forget this. You had to hit the click to type something in with your little finger. I said, forget that. Let me just get a pen and write on the side of this thing. So I'm old school. So forgive me, all you, all the kids. I'm not technologically enabled, not disabled. Yeah. Because I do have an enabler, my wife. She knows everything. So I can, I just say, well, how do I do this? Here it is, boom. So, you know, she's fine. She just enables me in my dysfunction because she just does it. How do you do this, honey? Okay, boom, and that's it. Okay, anyway, so Micah chapter 6, verse 9. Don't tell her I said that. Okay. Verse 6. Well, it wasn't bad. I mean, you know, she just enables me. Verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Mike is speaking. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased, verse 7, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn, yes, for my transgression? Sometimes I say, please, you know, but no. Yeah. No, I love my firstborn. Anyway, that's taped, right? I got that in case they'll send it to Josh. Anyway, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What is he saying about all those things? Those are things we give unto him, per se, which aren't bad. In those days, it was their worship. In those days, it was their worship. They offered rams. They offered bulls. They offered all these things. It was their form of worship. Should I offer him that? He says in verse 8, notice what he says in verse 8. He has showed thee, O man. Who's the he's speaking of? God has showed you, O person. Okay? What is good and what the Lord desires and requires of thee. This is what blesses the heart of God, like we were saying before, the broken and contrite heart, that was part of it. But then he says, but to do justly and to love mercy. Sounds familiar. For your mercy endureth forever. It says that God has shown us how to do justly. We have no excuse. God has shown us how to walk justly. The greatest example ever, ever given is called Jesus. Amen. Who walked on this earth, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and walked justly. They could find no fault with him. So he has shown us. He has shown us.
That's all right.
I'm having a hard time tonight. Yeah. Doing good? Okay, I got Pastor Robs and I'm doing good. Good. Keep going. Yeah. Go get him. Okay. It says, I could read the King James. He hath shewed thee. I like that one. He has shewed thee, O man. So it says, God has shown thee, Ray, what is good and what he requires of you, Ray. To do justly and to love mercy, for his mercy endureth forever. He's shown me that mercy I need to walk in and to walk humbly with your God, which is the broken and contrite and all those things that we just spoken in Isaiah chapter 66, 2. That's what blesses the heart of God. That's what makes me now. That's what makes me now. The resting place for God. That kind of a heart that now I live in because of Jesus. Not my own strength, not my own ability, but because of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that's been given because of Jesus in my life. To do justly. Walk in justness. Walk in just doing things of God, the commandments, the word of God. To show mercy. To love mercy, because God is merciful to us. And to walk humbly with thy God. Those are attributes of the one who God loves to dwell in. Who God delights and takes pleasure in. Thank God, as Tony said, that you know he doesn't leave us when we screw up, when we do. He doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't.
But that is no excuse. For us.
Right.
my desire should be, God, I want you to just rest.
Yes.
Not for me. You know, we always read, if you, when you talk about rest, it's always about us resting in God, which is true. But everything in the kingdom of God is really a two-way street. God set us free and gave us a born-again spirit. So this way, yes, we can now rest in him and find our resting place in him.
Right.
But it also is for the purpose so now he can rest in us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Isn't that wonderful? God has a need and you can fill it. God created Adam and Eve to have a relationship. He didn't create anything else, none of the angels like Adam and Eve. And now you are born again, and you have his spirit, and somebody said we have intimacy in relationship. That's why if you look at the scriptures, especially the New Testament, look in Revelations, and now in a lot of things, you will notice that whenever the angels worship God, they refer to him. If they're worshiping and exalting him, they say, God, they say, he is this, he is that, he did this, he did that, he is this, he is that. When you look at the saints who have been born again, saved through the blood of Jesus, and now are children of the Most High God, it is always, you, O God. You, God. It's a relationship. Second person. I'm the first person. Second person. Third person is always he or she. Okay, if anybody's English major. It's always now our relationship. I don't speak about God. I speak to him.
Yeah.
I worship maybe. Yes, it's okay. No, I don't want to get technical. You know, we can worship about God. But my attitude should be, I'm worshiping to you, God. Yeah. Nobody else. I don't care.
That's right.
Because now I have that relationship that the angels never had.
Okay.
Never had. They cannot understand, if you read it, I forget the scriptures, was the angels cannot understand this whole salvation thing. They can't. They say, you were sinful people. I remember when sin entered heaven, kicked them out. That's it, done. Everybody made their choice. It's over. Okay? But now God's mercy endures forever.
That's right.
How's that work? How's that work? They cannot grasp that. The scriptures tell us. They don't understand that because we have so much more than they do. We have so much more than they do. We have the intimate relationship that they never could have. But yet they worship like crazy and they serve him. They do all these things. They love God. But now he dwells within us. We just read David's psalm, for his mercy endureth forever, and all the psalm, and all these wonderful things of the Old Testament, saints. You know, when and you hear people say, at least in my day, years back, I don't know about now, they probably don't think that way, boy, I can't wait to go to heaven when I'm here. I'm going to talk to Moses. I'm going to talk to David. Imagine talking to David and hearing his experience. When you get to heaven, they're in line for you.
Yeah.
What was it like to have the Spirit of God in you? We had him upon us, and look what we did, but you had him in you. What was it like to have God sit down and say, this is a nice place to rest in you? What was it like? What is it like? We have something that they yearned for, that David wrote about. We worship you in the beauty of your holiness. David wrote that. He could never experience that. But yet he wrote about it. We can experience it.
Yes.
Because his holiness dwells within us.
That's right.
And that's why he yearns and he says, be ye holy as I am holy, because I want to dwell and enjoy you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I saved you. But I want to enjoy you and rest in you. That should be my heart, Lord. I don't want to do all those things because I want to. I'm here for your pleasure, not for mine. Lastly, if you know anything about government and politics, you hear it a lot of times, and sometimes some shows do it. You know, a lot of times for the president, the person will come, whoever's the secretary or something, and they always say, we serve at the pleasure of the president. Have you heard that before? We serve at the pleasure of the president. We serve at the pleasure, because he's allowing us to do it, and we serve for your pleasure. Well, you know what? We serve at the pleasure of our God.
Amen.
That's my life.
Hallelujah.
That should be the ultimate desire of my heart. Do I fall short? Yes. So what do I do when I fall short? You know what? What blesses the heart of God when I fall short?
Come on.
I own up to it.
Yes.
Make zero excuses. Own up to it. And then repent, which means turn. You have to turn, which means if you are in the wrong thing, sin, you are in the wrong direction, and you are away from God. But when you own up to it and then repent, you turn towards him. And you see, he's always there, though. He's always there calling out to you. He's always there because he loves the relationship, people. He loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die on that cross, take our place. So this way he can be back in relationship with his prized creation, you and I. All we need to do is recognize that, and just say, praise you, the Lord, for your mercy endureth forever. And Lord, heaven is your throne. Earth is your footstool. Where could the house be? Well, Jesus built the house. Where will my resting place be? Here, Lord.
Amen.
Here am I.
Amen. Yes.
Here am I. Come and dwell.
Yes.
And be delighted. And I take pleasure in your child. In your new creation. Remember now, you are a new creation. Old things. Old patterns, old lifestyle passed away. I like what it says. All things. Does it say that? It doesn't say some things. All things have become new. You are a totally new species of being. You know what kind of species of being you are right now? What are you? You should know it. If you are it, you should know it. What type of species of being are you? Redeemed, new creation, born again, child of God, whatever you want to call it. You once were a pig in sin, but now you're a lamb who God has you in his arms.
Hallelujah.
You're no longer, if you screw up, as I always say, you don't return to pighood. You become a dirty lamb. And if you own up to it, the shepherd will come, pour oil on your little head.
Come on.
Okay, wash you down a little bit and make it, you know. But if you own up to it. But if you're a stubborn little lamb, which lambs are, we've been to places and lambs and sheep. First of all, we're not going to go there. Anyway, I don't know why he looks at, well, I do know why because we are very much like lambs. First of all, lambs are stupid, but with God, we're smart. Okay, but you get the idea is that you're a totally new species of being. Thank God when you were saved, you crossed the line from a sinner separated from God to now a son of God in the household of faith. And the household is God's household. So let's, any questions before we close? Questions or problems? It's okay, you got a problem. I got Rob here. Pastor Rob's here for problems. He's a pastor. He takes care of problems. So that's why I don't want to be called Pastor Ray, because I don't want to deal with problems. He's a pastor. Go to Pastor Rob. You can call me Teacher Ray. I can teach, but if you got a problem with my teaching, go to Pastor Rob. It's wonderful. You should try it sometime, Rob. Forget it. No, any questions? Seriously, anything? It's okay. Okay, that's not a question, but okay. Hallelujah. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much. For your mercy endures forever. Your loving kindness endureth forever. It never ends. Your kingdom never ends. Lord, you sent Jesus to build you a kingdom and a household of faith that we are a part of. That will never end. It will be established as it was spoken in the word forever and ever and ever. Everything else will pass away. Everything made with human hands one day will pass away. Everything. But the things that you built and created with your hand to be your house is established forever and ever and ever. Through the high priesthood of Jesus, who is greater than the priesthood of Aaron, who is after the high priest of Melchizedek, who ministered unto the King of Kings, the sovereign God, El Elyon. Lord, that's who we now is our high priest, who leads us into the very presence and the glory of our God, not just outwardly, but inwardly. The Shekinah glory. We don't need to look at it outwardly anymore. And we don't need to look for the outward appearances of it. It's inside. It will come forth and will be expressed and will be seen. But Lord, the glory now rests in us. The Shekinah glory rests in us. What more? What more can you give us, God? Given us all. We are your dwelling place. Lord, our desire is that you can come and just rest. Rest in us. Delight in being in us. Delight in what and everything we give on to you, Lord, delight in it, because it comes with an attitude of heart recognizing for you're so good. And your mercy endureth forever. My God, your loving kindness never ends. So we thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, but also for your peace.
Yes.
Which doesn't just mean nice and calm and serene. It means to be at one with you. To be set at one again with you. Thank you. We thank you. And Lord, tonight now I just pray a blessing upon each person here. For as the Aaronic priesthood would speak the Aaronic blessing, at the very end of it, you say after that blessing that your name is placed upon your people. You have placed your name on us. Wow. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
We are yours.
Yes.
And you are ours. So, Lord, we just go tonight now, truly. Just blessing you.
Hallelujah.
Honoring you in all that we do. Desiring to just bless the heart of our King. Because we just love you. Not because we have to or forced to, but just because we love you. So we give you all the glory and honor for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
You close? We're done?